From WWNO, this is Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins. This and every week, we talk to people in Louisiana who've devoted their lives to music. We want to hear about their experiences and listen to what they're listening to, because that's where our music comes from. This week, back for more with the Soul Queen of New Orleans, Irma Thomas. It takes a rocking
chair to rock. That's what it's about. It's entertaining. A rubber ball to bounce. You are an entertainer, then entertain. Daddy to satisfy the soul calls mama. Here, shaking mama.
A whole new, fresh, hot from the oven, entertaining hour with Miss Irma after the news. It's Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins. Not long ago, we sat down with Irma Thomas for a nice long chat. And it was, as we say down here, kicks. Do men tend to ask for different songs than women?
Men ask the songs that you would expect a woman to ask for.
No.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Can you think of an example?
Yes, you could have my husband, but please don't mess him up, man. You can have my husband, but please don't mess with my man. You can have my husband, but please don't mess with my man. Tell all you women, won't you all? We talked about her voice, that unmistakable sound of sass and sex, of loneliness and independence, and of folly and faith. And we heard some of her many hits. Success has come to lots of them. That's what most entertainers look forward to hearing from people, that they can distinguish you from out of the crowd.
That first hour with Irma Thomas is online, and you can listen to it at any time. Just go to WWNO.org and click on Music Inside Out. But right now, right this very second, she's back. As it turns out, Irma Thomas has more to say, starting with her musical influences and her country roots. Yes. Country.
My father's family strung all up and down Highway 51. I have relatives starting, well, from New Orleans all the way up as far as Greensburg, Louisiana, that I know of, are my father's immediate cousins and aunts and uncles that are still living, that are my aunts and uncles that are still, there was two sets of my father's family, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When my parents couldn't find a good babysitter in New Orleans, my father took me to live with his mom. And within 6 months after he brought me to live with his mom, she died. So I stayed on with his sister who had four kids at the time.
Wow.
So I didn't have a chance to be spoiled. It wasn't until I came back to the city to live back with my parents when I was 9, because I told my dad if he didn't come get me, I was going to come back home myself. But he came and got me, and I came back to the city, and at that time, it was the early stages of what they call rock and roll. You know, the early Lloyd Price stuff, and
yeah.
Fats Domino, and Professor Longhair, and people of that caliber. What more can I do?
I'll cry. Ain't that a shame? My tears feel like rain. Call me Dr. Professor Longhair. The girls all call me a little old loving man. Oh, the boys call me Dr. Professor Longhair, but the girls all call me a little old loving man.
And on the radio, you every day you had your gospel show, you had your blues show, you had the news, of course, and then you had what was the other one? Pop music.
Right.
And so you had a lot more music involved. And my dad was a big Percy Mayfield and B.B. King and Bobby Blue Bland fan. So on the weekends when he was off, he played all those records. So that's where my musical background came from.
Well, you know I know I'm not a doctor, baby, but I wouldn't advise you to try to prove I'm not a doctor's son. Yes, you know I'm not a doctor, baby, but I wouldn't advise you to try to prove I'm not a doctor's son. Well, I'm gonna stay right here. That is until the doctor comes.
And even though you had some influences who were female, that most of your strongest influences have been male.
Well, I mean, Ruth Brown was out there, Dinah Washington, but Dinah was in a totally different category. She did more of the jazzier stuff, and but they didn't call it so much jazz back then, or did they? They may have, I don't know. But I wasn't drawn to that style of music. Mahalia Jackson was in her heyday when I was growing up, so of course the gospel side of me was there. And then we had the Clara Ward Singers, the Five Blind Boys.
Right.
All of those were very influential in my gospel side. But B.B. King, early B.B. King, Lightnin' Hopkins, John Lee Hooker, these are the things you heard, and children are influenced by what they hear. And of course, my dad played all that stuff at home on his 78s.
I've got a sweet little angel. I love the way she spread her wings. Y'all's got a sweet little angel. I love the way she spread her wings. Y'all's when she spread her wings around me, I get y'all. You know, I asked my baby for a nickel, and she gave me a $20 bill. Oh, yes, I asked my baby for a nickel, and she gave me a $20 bill. Well, you know, I ask a bottle, drink a liquor, and she got.
the thing is, you know, because you have that rural and urban background, you heard country music, and there are a lot of black people today, for instance, who say they don't like country music.
I love it.
I do
love it. You can't tell the difference between it and rhythm and blues.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
I learned that the early Gene Autry, when you said it, you know, when I started watching TV.
Yeah.
You know, you had Gene Autry, you had Roy Rogers, whom I met at my first Grammy nomination party.
Really?
I was like a little kid. I have a picture with him, so, you know, I was like a little kid. But yes, I mean, the early songs, all the singing cowboy stuff, sure. My first performance as a child that I can remember singing, actually remember performing in a play, I was in either the second or third grade, I don't remember, but Miss Clovis Hurst was the teacher, and it was her version of a Cinderella. Now, don't ask me how, but somewhere in Cinderella sung Tennessee Waltz. So I don't know if I was a fairy godmother or who, but she had me singing Tennessee Waltz.
Wow.
So, you know, we talking the early, late 40s, early 50s.
Maybe Cinderella is from Tennessee.
Who knows?
Ooh,
but that
yeah.
was her version of Cinderella, so she had me singing Tennessee Waltz. Until this day, I remember Tennessee Waltz.
Nice.
Yeah.
I was waltzing with my darling to the Tennessee Waltz when an old friend I happened to see. I introduced him to my loved one, and while they were dancing, my friend stole my sweetheart from me. I remember the night and the Tennessee Waltz. Now I know just how much I have lost.
Who knew Roy Rogers would make Irma Thomas's heart go pitter-patter? Next, we'll hear from an influential female singer who bedazzled Miss Irma on television. Back in a minute. Stay tuned. It's Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins. We're on your radio every Thursday at 1 and every Saturday at noon. For playlists of our shows or to listen or comment online, check out our website at wwno.org. You also can follow us on Twitter, where we're Music Inside Out. We're talking now with Irma Thomas about some of her favorite performers. Try to guess this next one.
That's what people say. Riding high in April, shot down in May. I think I'll change my tune. When I'm back on top, you know that I'll be on it next June. Yes, that's life. And funny as it seems, some people get their kicks stepping on dreams. Me, I don't let it get me down, 'cause this old world keeps going round and round. I've been a puppet, a puppet, a pirate, a porter, pawn, the king. I've been up and down and over and round, and I know one thing. Soon as I found myself down on my face, I just got back up and got back in the race. That's life, and you can't deny it.
Among your influences was Pearl Bailey.
Yes.
Television. I love Pearl Bailey.
When you know, that's another thing. I saw her on TV on what's his name show?
It wasn't Ed Sullivan.
Ed Sullivan's show.
Here's one of the great all-stars of modern show business. Here is Pearl Bailey.
I'm so happy to be here, Ed. I was great, of course, in pictures and on the stage. I was in plays, honey. Everybody says the same thing. I was in a play. I was in a play during the Revolutionary War. Well, the play was. I wasn't in it, of course. I've seen a few wars. But this child was in Arms and the Girl, Nanette Fabre, and I'll never forget. Nanette is sitting on a log. This is Nanette right here. Put her on the log, darling. That's Nanette. And she's the young girl, and I'm the older and wiser woman. I'm always the older and wiser woman. Even when I was young, I was the older and wiser woman, for which I made them pay me dearly.
And Pearl was so laid back, and she was just so herself. She wasn't putting, as we call it, putting on airs. She wasn't that kind of a person. It was just being real. And that's who I said, I'm going to be just like Pearl Bailey. I'm going to be myself. And that's what I do.
You do. But the thing is, you know, people remember her mostly as a comedian, but she was a great singer.
When I saw her, she was not being a comedian. She was actually being Pearl Bailey. In fact, I think she was singing something from one of the shows, and she sung one of the songs on his show from that particular show.
Oh, I'd love to see that.
It's like I told you, there's nothing for nothing. Nothing for nothing. Don't expect to collect. Get off your seat and earn that place on earth. You give something for something. Be someone to someone. Or nothing, just nothing. That's just what you'll be worth. I
also think of you when you do that, when you do your monologues, because you sound like Pearl Bailey sometimes when you do them. You know what I mean? That kind of down-to-earth.
Well, it is. It's just being who I am.
Let me relate to you. Yeah. Exactly.
Go right ahead, baby. Go ahead and light up the town. And baby, do anything, anything your heart desires. Just remember, I'll still be around. And I know, like I've told you so many times before. Oh, you're gonna come back. Yes, you're gonna come back and knocking on my door. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Time is on my side. Yes, it is. Yeah, time is on my side. Yes, it is. Yeah. And I've got some real love, the kind that you need. That's how I know. One of these days, baby, no, and it won't be long. Oh, all my worries will be over. I'll have my baby home. Time, time, time is on my side. Yes, it is. Yeah, time, time, time is on my side. You're gonna come running back to me. Time, time, time is on my side.
This is Music Inside Out. We have the great pleasure to be talking with Soul Queen Irma Thomas.
You can keep your sweet talk, keep your life, keep all of your promises, save that jive. You ain't hitting on nothing unless you got something for me. You know you promised me.
Did you ever feel as if record companies were underestimating you?
Oh, that happens to a lot of us. I don't feel alone in that category.
No.
And I imagine at that time it was a lot of folk who were not really promoted the way they could have been. But, you know, back in the day, they don't do it as much now as they used to. Back in the day, if you were a talent, the record company would sign you as a talent, and they would mold you into the marketing situation that they want to market you as. Yeah. But they don't do that as much as they used to anymore. Now you have to have everything done, the whole package, you bring it to the company.
Right.
And they buy the package already put together. But back in the day, you signed on with a company and they decided, okay, well, we're going to promote Irma as a pop artist. And you would be given songs that were in the pop category and that's what you would sing.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and this
and you didn't have very much say about it either.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, there were parts of your, you know, points during your career where, you know, you were, for instance, when you were with Atlantic Records,
mm-hmm.
and some guy writes this, some note saying, you know, that you don't have it anymore.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't sing like Diana Ross, so I didn't have it anymore. But fortune has it, when I went to the Grammys that year when I got nominated, and I saw that person who was sent that note that I didn't have it. I said, for somebody who don't have it anymore, I ain't doing too bad.
Did you say that?
I sure did.
Good for you. That was going to be my
and
next
smiled
question.
The whole time I was saying it.
Nah, 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 nah,
that's
nah.
Right.
Good for you. Good for you. And yeah, because this came before your first nomination,
yeah,
but
yeah.
not before your, and before your first win. I mean,
yes.
And we're going to
well,
say
I had
first
three
win.
Nominations before I got the first win.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So they say that that's better. You know what I mean? To like, you
whenever
shouldn't win
you get
on the
it,
first nomination.
Whenever you get it, it's good. I don't know when it's better or not. Whenever you get it, it's good. But I felt very humbled by even being nominated. What folk don't understand, the general public don't nominate you. You're nominated by your peers.
That's
and
right.
you're given the Grammy and being voted upon by your peers. So in order for, you know, in order to get the nomination, that meant a lot of other entertainers was listening to me.
Ask you this, when you went to college in the 1980s,
mm-hmm.
you originally, this is what I heard, you originally thought that you wanted to major in social work.
Uh-huh.
But didn't you realize that you'd already been doing social work for
yeah.
30 years as a singer?
Yeah. It dawned on me. It dawned on me. And I mean, I did change my major after going to school for 15 years to get a 2-year degree. I was determined. I had to stop and start so many times. I mean, I was doing homework on flights, coming in on weekends, trying to make an 8 o'clock class on Mondays mornings. It wasn't easy, but I was determined that I wanted to graduate. I had never graduated from anything. And I'd watched so many of my friends when they go across that stage and receive that diploma that the smile on their face was just, you just can't explain it. And I wanted that feeling. So, and I didn't want somebody to give it to me. I wanted to earn it.
I heard you say you've lost your faith and hope for the generations, and all of your good deeds don't pay, and you don't get no appreciation. Said you don't get no appreciation. Well, there's a hidden vein of water, steady running deep, ever flowing secretly. Just to make the ground green, there's an underground stream. Sweet, sweet water, gifted sons and daughters, blessed like the flowers that drink from an underground stream.
Now, what school did you did you finish from Southern or did
no,
you?
No, I finished from Delgado Community College. I was determined because I was given an honorary doctorate in social work from Southern University.
Really?
Yeah, you could call me Dr. Irma if you want to, but
I don't express it.
But I mean, I appreciated it because they were encouraging me to pursue the social work industry. And it just dawned on me, I get more people telling me their sob stories and problems than anybody I know. And sometimes I offer advice and sometimes I just listen. And oftentimes I'm more a listener than I am an advice giver because I have to pick and choose who I give advice to. People don't always take it the way you give it. So if they don't ask me for it, I don't volunteer it. You know, I volunteer it with friends because we have that kind of relationship. But sometimes strangers, total strangers, will walk up to me and just start telling me their problems. And I don't know why, but I just stand there and listen.
Yeah. Well, that's wise, though, to know the difference, when to speak up and when not to.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I've read enough of National Enquirer to know that.
You ended up majoring in business, which seems perfect for you.
Well, yeah, it makes sense because when my CPA found out I was attending school, he says, Irma, he says, you know, if you switch your major, you can deduct it off your taxes. And I said, really?
That's a great way to pick
so
your major.
So I had, in fact, I was almost ready to graduate in general studies when I switched my major to business. I needed to have some tax deductions. So that's what I did. It took me another extra 2 years, but it didn't matter.
Let me ask you this, though. With all you know about the business, mm-hmm. show business, and in your degree, mm-hmm. Do you really think that if you knew then, when you began singing back mm-hmm. in the late 50s, early 60s, mm-hmm. if you knew then what you know now, would things have been different for you, or is the business just what the business is?
Maybe to a small degree, but nevertheless, the business is what the business is. But those who are in it need to learn the business side of it. In the early stages of R&B, I'm sure you've done some research about it. A lot of entertainers, not so much black entertainers as it was, all entertainers were being had in some way or another. They weren't being paid properly. They didn't get their royalties. And I mean, it wasn't just black entertainers who were done this to. A lot of the white entertainers who didn't know it. We were just so naive about the business aspects of it. We were just happy to be recording because we knew our voices were going to be out there. So we didn't learn the business side of it. But of course, over the years, all of us, those of us who are still living, have learned the business side of it. And we're being more astute to what's going on with our contracts now.
So when you approach a contract, like for instance, for a live entertainment, mm-hmm. you know, like a mm-hmm. show, somebody calls mm-hmm. you up and says, Ms. Mm-hmm. Thomas, please, can you do this show? What are your first three questions?
Well, I don't ask them any questions. I tell them. This is what is required.
Okay.
And that's the way we do it. And it's all going to be in the rider. It'll be in the body of the contract or in the attached rider. And that's how you do your business.
I have counted all your lies, all your alibis. I'm a girl. Believes just what she hears, and it's na 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 late at night, na 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 late at night. I'll sit and count the tears.
He's gone and found somebody new. Happy now, but soon
she'll be counting every day that he's been away. It'll seem like a thousand years, and it's na 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 late at night. Na 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 late at night, she'll sit and count her tears. She'll sit and count her tears.
sit and count her tears.
There's a reason why they call it show business. Irma Thomas does the math. Coming up, the dollars and cents of a Grammy Award. This is Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins, and we're coming at you from Irma Thomas's living room. You've said that after that first nomination, mm-hmm. and that was for Simply the Best, uh-huh. right, uh-huh. that your phone didn't ring as uh-uh. much because people assumed
that I was going up on my prices.
Yeah.
And I wasn't. I was just trying to get work.
That's crazy. Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
What a strange business it is.
It is.
Because
but
success
I love it.
Can look like, you know what I mean, can look and
it's
can
not
be
what
switched
it's cracked
so many
up
different
to
ways.
Be in terms of the all the glitz and glamour. I mean, it's work. And people have to understand it is work.
Yeah. Well, what about when you won the Grammy? That was 2006
oh,
or 2007?
It was for 2006, but it was awarded in 2007.
Look, look, look at those flowers. Look, look.
Idiot up there crying. I couldn't tell you what my speech was. I had nothing prepared. I was just, I mean, my husband was standing up and he says, honey, you have to get up to get it. I was just sitting down. I couldn't believe my name was called. I was shocked. Totally.
Yeah.
I had nothing prepared because I had been nominated before and I didn't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I had lost out the first time to Keb Mo, the next time to B.B. King. So I wasn't expecting to win anything.
Well, at least you weren't losing out to one-hit wonders, huh?
You know, and I mean, you get to the point where you enjoy going because of the, you know, the fact that you were nominated, and you get to run into meet fans and people you haven't seen in a while at the party that you go to, the nomination party, and so you just don't. I wasn't expecting it. I didn't come prepared with any speech whatsoever.
Well, those are the sweetest ones, though, don't you think?
I mean, oh, honey.
When people pull out a big, long piece of paper and they start thanking their agent or whatever,
I mean,
your mind wanders.
I thank everybody I could think of, but I didn't have nothing written down.
Well, but how did that affect your business? I mean, did people,
well,
did
that,
you have the same experience
point,
as before?
At that point, I didn't have, it didn't slow down the work that time.
Good.
That time, the work did increase somewhat, yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess they figured, well, after three times, she must be worth it.
There you go. There, and raise that price.
I really didn't increase the price. If I did a little bit, but not by a large margin.
Right.
I mean, because I have seven-piece bands, so I had to raise it some in order to, you know, to be able to pay off my guys. And so, but I didn't go way out there like, you know, in left field like some people do. And my writers are simple. I don't have anything like some writers have in it. I want a bowl of M&Ms, but I don't want any black ones or
exactly.
something of that nature. I don't have anything like that stupid.
No
in
Lady
my
Pac-Man
writing.
In your dressing
I
room.
I just have basic amenities and that's, you know.
This is Music Inside Out. We're talking with Irma Thomas. Now, I wanted to ask you this. You don't hide your age.
No, why should I? I'm thankful I'm living this long.
Well, yeah, but it's not like you're 100, you know.
No, no, but if someone would have told me when I started out in this business that I would still be a viable entertainer, still performing and doing what I do at age 71, I would have told them they were sick. And to actually be doing it, I feel very grateful and I'm humbled by it because I still have a pretty decent voice. And I'm still able to do a little movement on stage. I don't sit down and sing. I'm miserable sitting down and singing. Hopefully we all live to be a ripe old age, but you know, you don't expect to be still entertaining. But I had lots of inspiration. I mean, look at B.B.
Yep, B.B. King.
what, 80s?
Somewhere in his 80s. And there was a gentleman who recently died called Pine Top Perkins. He performed until he was in his 90s.
He sure did.
I mean, he was doing festivals, you know, so that, I mean, I'm inspired by that.
Oh, yeah.
Now I want all y'all to know, this is my own boogie woogie, just like I tell you. Now when I tell you the Holy Seven, strike at the Holy Seven, don't you move pay. And when I tell you to get it, won't you try your best to get it? So grab it now, hold yourself. Stop. Now get it. That's what I'm talking about. I don't want y'all to forget your nose, Mr. Pine Top's boogie woogie, do it like I tell you. Now when I tell you to hold yourself this time, I want to strap back to hold yourself, don't you move a peg. And when I tell you to get it, when all y'all do boogie woogie, so good, now hold yourself. Stop. Now get it. That's what I'm talking about.
I think at some point in my life, I may not quit, but I won't be doing it as much.
You know, you, I don't know if you were thinking about that this year at the 2012 Jazz and Heritage Festival,
mm-hmm.
but at the end of that show, that set, you ended with this very poignant monologue talking about your years in the business. You thanked your fans, and then you sang the Bob Dylan song, Forever Young.
It's a very humbling experience. So I decided that I would close out my Jazz Fest set by dedicating this song to all of you who have been my fans for all 53 years of this singing career I've had. And it was written by a young man who spent some time right here in this city. And I think it's very appropriate because if you have been my fan for all those years, we are all around the same age. But we all are very young at heart. So I want to dedicate this song to all of you and hope and pray that you stay forever, forever young.
And I'm telling you, people were crying in the audience.
I do too every time I sing it.
May God bless and keep you. May your wishes all come true. May you always do for others and let others do for you. May you build a ladder to the stars and climb on every rung. May you stay forever young. May you grow up to be righteous. May you grow up to be true. May you always know the truth and let the light surrounding you. May you always be courageous, stand upright and be strong. May you stay
so much that I'm thinking about it, but when you look at over the years, that I mean, I haven't had a number one song in 50 years of being in show business. I've never had a number one song.
Well, Fats Domino never had a number one song.
I never had a million seller that was a song that sold 1 million copies. I mean, over the years I've sold millions probably, but I've never had that. But I have a fan base. And how many entertainers of any caliber, for that matter, who's been in the business for 50 years can say they have a strong fan base who looks forward to whatever you're going to, you know, they may ask for the old songs, but they still buy whatever CDs that you come out with, they'll buy one because it's you. So, yes, I feel very humble by that. Yes, I thank my fans, and yes, I dedicated that song to them because I want them to be forever young.
Irma Thomas closing out her show at the 2012 New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival. And thanks to her, we've doubled our pleasure and doubled our fun at Music Inside Out. Remember, you can hear our first hour with Irma Thomas or comment online at wwno.org. Next time, we head to the Ritz-Carlton Hotel in New Orleans for a conversation with jazz trumpeter Jeremy Davenport. There's a lounge with his name on it.
And my mom is a singer and plays guitar and dulcimer, and she's definitely like the hippie, hey, lighty, 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 you know. And so my mom exposed me to, like, you know, the Bee Gees, Sly and the Family Stone. You know, she was very much had her finger kind of on the pulse of, like, the current pop music scene in the 70s, and she continues to do that now, and it's, you know, 2012. My mom's interested in everything that's on the radio. It's crazy.
Join us next week for Jeremy Davenport. And you're listening to Music Inside Out from WWNO. Each week, we feature the people of Louisiana who've devoted their lives to making the music we call our own. Our show is produced by Lynette Johnson, Lily Kieber, Jason Rhine, and Sean Collins. Also, special thanks to Matthew Goldman and Festival Productions Incorporated for sending us tape from the 2012 New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival. Jason Saul keeps our website looking so nice. Ron Curtis is WWNO's Operations Director. Ron Biava is the station's Development and Marketing Manager, and the General Manager of WWNO is Paul Mawson. I'm Gwen Tompkins, and this is Music Inside Out. This week, our last word goes to a virtual unknown, but maybe not for long. After 12 years away from the stage, Gavin Bell has been making appearances around New Orleans and singing some beautiful standards. We heard him the other day and thought you should too. Here he is singing Lush Life, Gavin Bell on vocal, and on piano, the ever wonderful David Torkanowski.
I used to visit all the very gay places, those come what may places, where one relaxes on the axis of the wheel of life, to get the feel of life from jazz and cocktails. The girls I knew had sad and sullen gray faces with distant gay traces that used to be there. You could see where they'd been washed away by too many through the day. 12 o'clock tales. Then you came along with your siren song, and you tempt me to madness. I thought for a while that your poignant smile was tinged with the sadness of a great love for me. But yes, I was wrong. Again, I was wrong. Now life is lonely, again and only last year. Everything seems so sure. Now life is awful, again a trough full of hearts, could only be a bore. A week in Paris will ease the bite of it. All I care is to smile in spite of it. I'll forget you, I will, while yet you are still burning inside my brain. Romance is mush, stifling those who strive. I'll live a lush life in some small dive, and there I'll be while I rot with the rest of those whose lives are